Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
And NFL draft coverage on 710 ESPN is brought to you by joinlapd.com to learn how you can make a difference in your community in a position that always remains essential. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Night two of the NFL draft. Night one was spectacular in terms of audience, in terms of ratings. The increase from last year was 37%. It was the most watched NFL draft, first night of the NFL draft in history, with more than 15.6 million people tuning in on ABC, ESPN, NFL Network, and ESPN Deportes. Broke the mark record of 12.4 million viewers from 2014. And that number does represent, as I mentioned, a 37% increase over the 2019 draft. 15 players taken from the SEC in the first round of the draft. That's the most players from any single conference in the first night of the draft in history. 6 wide receivers in the first round. Unusual. Number one pick, Joe Burrow, of course, going to Cincinnati. Miami goes Tua at number 5. Chargers go 6, Justin Herbert, and then the surprise, Green Bay takes the 4th quarterback in the first round, Jordan Love from Utah State, irritating the hell out of Aaron Rodgers.
Right, and it makes no sense. I don't know why they did that, but do you think it has anything to do with the fact that they're the only franchise that doesn't have an owner? You know, they're owned by a collective. Do you think an owner would have caught that?
Boy, it's a really good question. I don't understand how that Green Bay Packers ownership works. Like, is there a vote of all the shareholders on who should be the general manager, who should be the operating officer? I don't know how all that stuff works. It is owned by the fans.
Right. So, to me...
But somebody's in charge. I don't know how that person gets in charge, but somebody is in charge, and they clearly are planning for the day when Aaron Rodgers is no longer the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers.
And
they went with a guy who last year threw for 20 touchdowns and 16 picks at Utah State. Not a top-flight conference, and 16 picks is a serious number of interceptions.
But I'll tell you what. The draft is starting up again now, round two. Lindsay, this one's only 5 minutes in between picks, right? Instead of the 10?
Yes.
Okay, I put Michael Pittman, who obviously you and I watched play a lot.
He's a great player.
I put him in the same class as, you know, his 40 time was faster than Juju's.
Is that right?
Yeah. And, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster is a great NFL receiver.
He's been a great NFL receiver.
I put Pittman somewhere, you know, right there with Juju. And in that same conversation with Robert Woods and Marquise Lee and Nelson Aguilar, I think he's the difference between Pittman and some of those other guys is that Pittman will go over the middle. I mean, he's a big physical dude. I can't imagine. So there have been 32 picks. I cannot imagine he'll stay on the board past 40. I think one of the next 8 picks is Michael Pittman.
By the way, I just double-checked, and it's the third round they get 5 minutes, but the second round they get 7 minutes in between picks.
Okay,
seven minutes. ESPN, by the way, has done an unbelievable job at wrangling all this stuff. I guess it's ESPN and the NFL Network.
They're sharing. They're actually airing the same feed on ESPN2 and the NFL Network.
I mean, right now I'm looking at a screen with Mel Kiper, Lewis Riddick, Booger, Michael Irvin, everybody on the same screen. On top of that, they've got every draft pick set up on Zoom. I think even in the second and third round, we're going to see those living rooms. By the way, you know who's been really critical of Joe Burrow is Lindsay. Lindsay has been very critical of Joe Burrow.
That's an Ohio boy you're picking on.
Why are you picking on Joe Burrow?
I'm not like critical of Joe Burrow. What do you mean? Like I think he's great. I'd love to have Joe Burrow. He's a Buckeye.
Right, but you're saying he lives in he didn't give us a good background for his picks.
No, I think that's just you trying to make it seem like something that it's not. I just said I think that like it seems like a I don't know. He got the drapes closed, and it seemed like a very underwhelming environment for the first overall draft pick to be in. I feel like
everybody lives on a yacht.
I'm not talking about where he lives. I'm just talking about the fact that like the drapes are closed, and it's just him and his parents looking very, very like distraught. And, like, I don't know, it just looked like a very tense environment there. It didn't seem
nervous.
Like somewhere.
You're going to be the number one pick in the draft. You're nervous.
Yeah, but everyone else seemed to be awfully happy and excited. And a lot of them even had, like, balloons and stuff. So I'm just saying, if that were, like, my brother or if I had a kid, I would probably just try and do something to spruce things up, even if it was just, you know, buy some balloons.
That's what Joe Burrow needed. He needed some sprucing.
But, I mean, maybe he's sad because he's going to the Bengals because the Bengals are terrible. But, I mean,
this has become.
Hey, if you were a draftee, where would you want to go?
Me, personally?
Yeah.
I would probably want to go to the 49ers.
Mace, where would you want to go?
Oh, Rams.
Or Tampa Bay, because now you get to play with Brady.
I'd want to go to the Rams. It's my favorite team.
I'd want to go play for Pete Carroll.
Why wouldn't you want to go play for the Raiders, your favorite team?
Because Gruden doesn't know what he's doing.
This is more proof that your favorite team is not really your favorite team. You're not choosing to play for your favorite team.
No, because I'm not convinced. Like, did you see what we did with our second pick yesterday?
Yeah.
Took a guy that was nowhere on anybody's board until the second or third round. Not one draft Nick had. Gruden just thinking, he thinks he knows more than everybody, and there's just no indication to prove that.
Or you're paying
true.
Him $100 million. You paid him because you
I'm
think
not,
he knows more than anybody.
I'm not paying him. Mark Davis is paying him.
I remember you completely over the friggin' moon about John Gruden.
Well, because we had had a string of Bobos, and I thought Gruden was better than all of them. But when he traded Khalil Mack, you know this, Mace, I cried on air. I mean, when he traded Khalil Mack, he lost me.
Right, you stopped being a Raider fan. Then you sort of became a Raider fan.
Well,
again.
I just have...
Are you a Raider fan or not?
Yeah, because I have nowhere else to go. I'm like
and
Richard
yet
Gere
in
the officer
Pete Carroll
and a
in
gentleman.
Seattle.
Yeah, because I think playing for Pete would be really fun.
Not playing for your own favorite team.
You know what we call that in Cleveland is trying to outsmart the room.
Yeah, wait a minute, Lindsay, you wouldn't go play for the Browns?
Absolutely not.
You would not want to play for your favorite team?
I wouldn't work for the Browns in any way, shape, or form, or capacity, because I'm sorry, but they're just a disaster.
Mace, by the way, if you pick the Rams, you may be going to the last place team in the NFC West.
Don't agree.
So if you don't care, okay,
don't,
who's,
I don't agree.
Who are they going to finish ahead of? In that division.
Arizona, 100% Arizona.
But the team that got Isaiah Simmons yesterday with the ninth pick?
Look, I'm not
the team that traded for DeAndre Hopkins and didn't give anything up?
I'm not a Cliff Kingsbury believer. I'm not a Kyler Murray
believer.
You see
that house, man? Cliff Kingsbury's living life. He's living large.
I'm not an Arizona believer. I'm not an Arizona believer. He has yet to have a winning season.
Well, he's only had one.
Right. Yeah, no, but I'm saying he didn't have a winning season at the collegiate level, did he?
No, yeah, he did. He just did not his last year. But at Texas Tech, he went to bowl games every year.
I mean, he got fired at Texas Tech and became the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. No, I'm not a believer. And I think they'll be right there with Seattle.
And by the way, you left out a step in his lineage. He got fired at Texas Tech, got hired at USC.
USC, yeah, I know.
And then left USC to become the head coach of the Cardinals.
I can't count USC anymore. He was there he was literally, and I'm not kidding, there for 10 minutes. he was there for exactly 10 minutes. No, I mean, I think the Rams are in that 10 and 6, 9 and 7 range. I think Seattle's in that 10 and 6, 9 and 7 range. And if they do open up the playoffs, and I think all the rules are going to change, if they open up the playoffs and go to 1, 2, 3, go to 7 teams, I think the Rams last year would have made the playoffs and will make the playoffs this year.
Hey, Fudge, can you pot up?
Go to seven teams now?
Can you pot up? They already did. Roger Goodell.
Work with the Draftathon. The NFL families contributed more than $85 million so far for COVID-19 relief, including $4 million last night through the Draftathon. Tonight, the NFL will match every dollar contributed by fans. So let's keep it coming because we're going to double your money. On your screen are the two ways you can donate, and you'll see that throughout the night. So now it's officially time to open round two of the 2020 NFL Draft. The Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock.
Boo!
But you know who hasn't been taken yet? T. Higgins, that big wide receiver for Clemson, who was their best wide receiver throughout all those championship runs?
Yeah.
He's still out there. Can you imagine if they get Burrow and Higgins in the same draft? That'd be pretty amazing.
There are a couple of I would not be afraid of taking Michael Pittman in this spot. I would not be afraid of going Michael Pittman.
No, either one.
I think Pittman's going to be a star.
ESPN's mock.
Has
those are the next two guys going. T. Higgins and Michael Pittman. They have them going right at the 1-2 at the start of the second round.
Okay, so very possible that that's the way they go.
But man, if I could get Pittman, they got him going to the Colts. That'd be a good spot for him. Phillip Rivers is going to play basically 1 or 2 years in Indianapolis and needs a number one receiver. T.Y. Hilton was hurt all last year, but he turns 31, has that calf injury. Boy, that'd be a good spot for Pittman to go to Indy.
Yeah, really good spot. This has been an unbelievably deep draft for wide receivers. I mean, to see six wide receivers.
Okay, that's an interesting point. You know why? Think about it. Our buddy Steve Clarkson has been a beneficiary of this. For about 7-8 years now, these quarterback schools have opened where they get a hold of 10, 11, 12-year-old kids, and all the high schools are now pass first. And it has now bled into the colleges, especially in the Big 12. In the Big 12, these quarterbacks are throwing for 500-600 yards. And so all these wide receivers, it used to be there'd be four running backs to go in the first round. Last night there were, four or five receivers and one running back. And we may get two more receivers now in the first first two picks of the second round.
Albert Breer has tweeted, I think the Bengals take a receiver not named Denzel Mims here.
It's either Higgins or Pittman, according to ESPN. So we'll see. They're not supposed. Nobody's supposed to be tipping picks. Anybody who has an NFL contract isn't allowed to tip picks anymore. So that's why you're not seeing NFL Network guys, ESPN guys, Schefter, Mortensen, Daniel Jeremiah. None of them are tipping picks.
So likely to go receiver here. Likely to go receiver. They're not tipping picks, and yet they're likely to go receiver. What do you mean they're not tipping picks?
Well, Albert Breer doesn't work for NFL or ESPN.
So is he tipping
picks? But somebody's tipping him.
No, is Albert Breer tweeting out picks before they happen?
He said a receiver other than Mims.
Yeah, but if you know who it is and you work for an NFL, Breer just tweeted he thinks it's Higgins from Clemson. So, if you don't work for NBC, CBS, or ABC, ESPN, you can do it. So Breer works for Monday Morning Quarterback. He's able to do what he wants. He says they're taking Higgins. What a draft for the Bengals.
Yep. That's a huge one, too. By the way, Les Snead has said, every round we pick in, there will probably be a wide receiver available that would be a benefit to the Rams. So they may not go wide receiver in the second round.
Yeah,
they may
if
wait
Pittman
the
drops,
round.
Though, he won't drop to 52, but if he did, you got to take him. You got to take him. Pittman's a first-round receiver who didn't get picked in the first round. So that'll be interesting. You think Jalen Hurts goes in this round today?
Yeah, he's sort of a wild card quarterback. He's one of those guys that you grab late who's got a great lineage, who comes from a great program, who won a bunch of football games.
Two great programs.
Yeah, two great programs. Won a lot of football games in his career. He could be a steal in this draft. I like Jalen Hurts, and I do like the kid from Utah State that went to Green Bay. At
least
there
you've
got a lineage.
What were you saying people were tweeting about Kurt Warner?
Some people were suggesting that Kurt Warner's had some work done on his face.
No, I just think he has a lot of makeup on.
I think he looks great.
As a former TV guy who had to wear makeup, he put a lot of makeup on. I think that's what's freaking people out.
People are just hating on him. He looks great.
And by the way, how do we feel if he did have work?
Who cares?
Yeah, that's what I say. I say who cares. Little there. I'm not getting anything, but I mean, if people want to, that's their business, right? If you're on TV all the time, I would imagine we're not watching anybody on local news that hasn't had something done.
Oh, for sure. Kurt Sandoval, that guy, you know, come on.
He's Kurt Sandoval, that's a brand new face.
Get me started on the
that
double
face
standard.
That face was a teardown. They had to rebuild the entire thing.
So don't get me started on, like, the double standard between male and female news anchors, because it just blows my mind.
Old men and super young women. That's the key to a TV news team.
Yep. It's like a woman gets one wrinkle and they're like, you better have a face or you're out of here.
Yeah.
And the guys are like, you know, the guys, they're old man winner and they're just out here, you know, rolling along 40 years on the air.
Credibility, Lindsay. Credibility.
Only for one gender.
Right. Bengals on the clock, but not a lot of drama. Bengals, Albert Breer has tweeted, Bengals kick it off with Clemson wide receiver T. Higgins.
Right, which is a great pick. And
great
then
pick.
We'll see Mike. Now, we mentioned that yesterday we had Will Ferrell on, and he said that right before he came on with us, he got a text from Pete Carroll saying, I need some draft clues. You know, like who we're going to – we want to give people a hint of you know, what we might do in the draft. And so this is what Will Ferrell sent him. It's a scene from the movie Step Brothers.
Okay.
Let's see if this gives us any type of a clue.
Well, Brennan, you certainly have had a lot of jobs.
I'm a bit of a spark plug and a human resources lady.
It's Pam.
I'm sorry. Well, Pan.
No, my name is Pam.
Are you saying Pan or Pam?
I'm saying Pam. Yeah, I'm sorry. Who is this gentleman sitting behind you?
Hello, Ms. Lady. I'm Dale. I'm Brennan's stepbrother. And I think I might be able to help with the Pam dilemma.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Pam.
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 Panned.
With an
There's
M.
There's a D on the end.
There's no D. It's Pam.
It's like calm.
Here, it's P.
P-A-N-M.
M.
Two M's.
M.
That was the confusion.
No, there's just one M.
What do you say we interview you?
All right, yes, that's a sometimes useful exercise. Please put your hand down. Go ahead.
How much money do you make a year before taxes?
Okay, I'm actually not comfortable answering that.
Come on!
We're doing the interview now, not you.
Okay, here's a shot out of a cannon. Oprah, Barbara Walters, your wife. You got a... one, marry one, kill one. Go.
I think we're done here. Thank you.
All right. So what's the clue? It's somebody with an unusual spelling or pronunciation, maybe?
Maybe. Maybe somebody named Pan?
Yeah.
For clarification.
Yes. Lindsay, what is your question?
So I thought he said that Pete Carroll did not tell him who he was picking. So how is Will Ferrell able to give him a clue about the guy that he's picking if he didn't tell him?
Well, maybe he did since then. That was 24 hours ago, right? Didn't we interview Will Ferrell about this time yesterday?
Yeah, we did.
Yep.
By the way, Bengals still haven't picked, but Field Yates just tweeted, look at the Bengals skill group now.
Go ahead.
Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, Gio Bernard is their running back too, A.J. Green, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, they're going to be decent if they can block for those guys. Albert Breer now tweeting that Michael Pittman going to the Colts. So we figured as much. USC's Michael Pittman, who is a great player, who we got to watch play a lot. Of course, his dad played in the NFL for Tampa Bay, is going to the Colts. That guy's going to have a 10-year NFL career. That guy's going to be great.
The Colts pick is in. Yeah,
it's according to Albert Breer, it's Pittman.
It's Michael Pittman. So this rule about not tipping is clearly not working.
It's only certain people, because Shams is tipping picks too, Carlo pointed out.
Right, it's anybody that works. Okay, so here's the thing about the NFL. It's the only of the four major professional sports leagues, it's the only league that has a deal with every network. In other words, they have a deal with CBS, a deal with NBC, who does Sunday Night Football, a deal with ABC, who does Monday Night Football, and a deal with Fox, who has the NFC contract. So all four of those outlets have agreed not to tip picks. So anybody tipping picks is from outside of that ecosystem.
Oh, got it. So T. Higgins is the first pick of the second round, and it appears... I think Roger Goodell is about to make the announcement.
Yeah, let's carry that, because I think we have Key coming up at 4:30, Lindsay?
Sure do.
Okay. Yeah, so let's... all right, here we go.
Indianapolis Colts select Michael Pittman, wide receiver, USC.
Great player. Great player. Good for Michael Pittman. It's a good spot for him, too.
We'll try and get him. By the way, his younger brother is a wide receiver at Oregon.
That's right.
And we'll try. And Keyshawn obviously knows him. So we'll get Key's thoughts on what the challenges will be for Pittman going to the next level. But I don't even think. Okay, so Mace, here's the numbers on Pittman in college at USC. He had 176 catchable targets, 176, only five drops.
Yeah, he was unbelievable for USC. Unbelievable.
And it's the second Trojan to go, right? They had a lineman go in the first round, offensive lineman?
Yeah, 101 catches last year, 1,275 yards, 11 touchdowns. Had just a great, great year. Great player at USC.
And had to deal with multiple quarterbacks and made it work with whoever was there.
All right, coming up next, we've got Keyshawn.
Yeah, we can go a couple more minutes, but Pittman's going to play right away there, too. I bet you he's going to start. I bet you they're going to put T.Y. Hilton on one side, and they're going to put Pittman on the other, and Phillip Rivers is just going to wind back there and fling it. I actually like that for him. I like that for Pittman. I think that he's going to be there. Siciliano just tweeted it. Michael Pittman, Colts day one starter. And they got him in the second round.
Yep.
That is a great pick for both sides. Really happy for him. We've had him on the show. He's a good dude. His dad, you know, he comes from an NFL background. That is,
I think he's from Woodland Hills, I think.
Yeah, and Nate, that guy can just
Lions
flat
pick
play.
Is Lions pick is in. They're moving fast tonight.
Well, only 7 minutes. Remember, unlike last night, which was 10.
Lions took Jeff Okuda with the third pick last night, cornerback from Ohio State. Their pick is in now, and it looks – I've not seen Albert Breer tweet on this one.
Yeah, well, they're not going to get them all. There are some organizations that don't leak. Like,
right.
There's just no leaks at all. But there are other ones that, you know – because think about it. It doesn't – the leak doesn't have to come from necessarily the organization. It can come from agents. And agents like to help out reporters, guys like Albert Breer – because they need down the road some good publicity for their guys. So the agents are the guys that oftentimes tip the picks. Breer says DeAndre Swift is going to be the pick for Detroit.
DeAndre Swift.
And by the way, the ESPN mock has been pretty good so far. It nailed the first two. It had Swift going 39. He's a running back out of Georgia. And by the way, that means that after DeAndre Swift goes to the Lions, that J.K. Dobbins and
Jonathan Taylor
would be the next running backs up. And, you know, I'm thinking the Rams need a running back, but I'm guessing they go linebacker.
I don't think either of those guys get to him.
We'll see.
Yeah,
the ESPN mock has Taylor lasting until 49, and Rams have the 52nd pick. And you said earlier, and I agree with you, Les Snead might move up.
Yeah, may move up, or by the way, may move down. It's very possible he moves down for an extra third round pick.
Okay, let's take a break and get Keyshawn in here, and we'll get his thoughts on all this stuff.
All right, cool. NFL draft live coverage continues for you right here on 710 ESPN. And welcome back to the NFL Draft Mason and Ireland show. And we are joined now by Keyshawn Johnson, star of the Keyshawn, LZ, and Travis show every morning, LA's only local sports morning show. Keyshawn, how are you, man?
What's happening, Mace?
All is good.
Ireland?
I'm excellent, Key, and we're lucky to have you, especially on a draft day. How do you think, by the way, we haven't talked about this yet on the show. I'm curious what you think. Under the obstacle that they have, that we got to be social distance and do this virtually, how do you think they've done with the draft?
Great. Excellent.
I agree.
I'd like to see a little more interviews from the players and excitement from them. But because it's virtual, you know, technical difficulties to be able to get back to Trey Wingo, to get back to the draft, and then try to get back to the guide and get back to the picks. By the time they – talk to the team, the next team is already on the clock. And so I spoke to Seth Markman this morning, and he was, you know, we were just having a conversation. And
he's
Seth is
the executive producer at ESPN for football.
Yes, right? he runs the whole draft and the whole deal, and he was explaining it to me. Because I said, he was like, what do you think? I was like, it's great. You know, I basically said some other words to him, blah, blah, blah. You didn't screw it up, blah, blah, blah. You could form those words how you want to. But then I, you know, because I got a tongue-in-cheek with him because he's my boss. And so at the end of the day, he was explaining to me it's hard to get from one place to the next place to the next place to the next place to get an interview by the time the pick is in because of the virtual stuff. It's a little slower than what we like in real time.
By the way, the Lions wound up taking running back DeAndre Swift from Georgia, and the Giants took Alabama safety Xavier McKinney with the Patriots on the clock right now. Key, you know, remember how special a night that was when you were drafted. I feel, you know how we did that senior shout-out for kids that weren't getting their graduation or the commencement or, you know, the big party at the end of their senior year of high school? I feel the same about these NFL draft picks. They're not quite getting the experience that maybe one day they dreamed of.
Well, you know, the first round guys certainly didn't. Day two guys typically are at home with their families, but they don't have Bill Belichick. Got
Bill Belichick
on the
left
table.
They got a shot of Belichick, and he's gone. And his dog is sitting in front of his computer.
His dog looks like a large raccoon, by the way, Bill. So when you think about it, the second and third day guys, the experience that they're not getting is with a full fan fest, with you know, 15, 20 plus members of their family being able to be around them and screaming and hollering. I was texting with T. Higgins, the receiver from Clemson that just went to the Cincinnati Bengals. I was texting with him pretty much the entire draft yesterday. And as time was going by, we were discussing it. And I kept telling him, I said, look, man, if you don't go today, sleep good tonight, you're going to go off the board within the first 15 minutes of the draft. I promise you.
Yeah, I promise you.
And because what happens is a lot of guys get down on them not going in the first round because everybody's telling me first round. And then when that goes away, they lose that experience and they're so mad at that they go in the next day and they don't realize, dude, you're one of the top 50 players in the world to be drafted. And then when you go further down in the draft, you're one of the top, whatever it is, 200 something players to get drafted in the world. There's nothing just, I don't care if you are a seventh round pick, the last pick of the draft, man, you better suck that thing up and enjoy it.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's such a small club of anyone who's ever been drafted. Hey, you mentioned to us before we get started, you've known Michael Pittman since he was a little kid. You used to play with his dad in Tampa. Mason and I love him. He was a great player at SC, but you would know more than we would. Does his game fit the NFL? You think he's going to have a good career?
I think he will have a good career. It depends on how they utilize him in Indianapolis. Now, obviously, he's a rookie. He's going in with Phillip Rivers as a veteran football player that knows how to get the football.
T.Y. Hilton on the other side, too. Yeah.
You got T.Y. Hilton on the other side. They drafted the kid out of Ohio State, Campbell, last year. So you got some receivers that's there. He's a big red zone target. Not an explosive guy, but he runs fast when he gets going. He's a 4-5 guy when he gets running, but he's not an explosive guy from start to finish. He can't pick him up and put him down and change directions like that, but that's okay because he's a large red zone target for you, and that's what you need. You need a guy that can score touchdowns, and he certainly can do it in the NFL because his body is so big, it's very hard to get around a guy like that. I don't worry about him because he doesn't have a lack of work ethic. He comes from a good family. So you don't worry about guys like that. He will transform into something in the NFL with people 5 years from now to be like, damn, he probably should have won in the first round.
Where the hell is Lenoir Rhyne University?
Did the Patriots take a guy from there?
Yeah, Patriots took Kyle Duggar from there.
That's your old friend Bill Belichick, Key. He's got all these guys on a list that nobody else has got, right?
I think that's the guy he worked out doing the combine. Doing the combine, he worked the dude out in, like, the snow or something. It was pouring down, raining or
something. Yeah, he's a freaky good athlete. He was when he got into high school, he was 5'6 and 140 pounds, and then he had a growth spurt.
Yeah,
and now he's like 6'1", 210.
Bill found him and went and worked him out by himself. All by himself. So there you go. You got a guy that Bill,
that's
and this guy
does,
will probably
yeah.
turn into a 10-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah. Amen. We're talking to Keyshawn Johnson from the morning show. Key, of course, the former number one overall pick in the NFL
Sounds
draft.
Sounds good. Say it again, Ireland.
Well, and
we
you
all
had a great,
remember him, man.
Yeah, and you had a great career. I'm curious though, Key. Mason and I got into a discussion yesterday about how half of these teams tend to miss. Like, half of these guys don't make it. Are you surprised that it's that hard to draft a good player?
Well, it is, but you got to – it's hard to draft a good player, but it's a lot that goes with drafting guys, the intangibles. What's his worth ethic? Does he want it? Does he want to be good? Is he happy just wearing a logo, or does he want to be a guy? So many guys are just happy to get the logo. To be able to walk around and say, I played in the NFL, or I play in the NFL. They want everything that comes with it except the grind. That's why I go back to Michael Pittman. I said, don't worry about him. He's the type of guy – I don't need to think too hard about what that is. I know what that is. And there's a lot of guys that are out there that you got to worry about, but coaches and general managers take them because they don't want to miss. Because if they miss and they go somewhere else and somebody else gets the best out of them, you look like the fool.
Do you think that the fact that everything is being done remotely on Zoom and these sort of the way things are being handled, that coaches and front offices aren't able to get as much of a feel for these guys as they would normally?
No, they can still get a feel for them. You could have a conversation. They've had 3 and 4 and 5 hour conversations with guys on Zoom. I mean, what do I need to do? Touch your shoulders? I mean, I'm looking at you in your eyes in Zoom. If you look down at the floor,
you got 3-4 years of college tape on all these guys, right?
Yeah, I got tape on you. I could talk to coaches. I got my private investigator still available. I mean, I could get everything done that I need to get done. The problem is, Mason, is you got too many lazy ass general managers and front office people that don't want to do any work. They don't
really
want to work. They just want to sit around in a lot and say, oh, well, no, seriously.
I've heard this before, Key. They want to make the safe pick. They're worried about losing their job.
They're lazy. They are so lazy. It's ridiculous. They don't want to have to go and watch hours and hours of tape, study things up, do all the homework. They just want to sit around, wear a suit, stand on the sidelines pregame and chuckle.
Keyshawn Johnson is with us. Key, the Rams are coming up in this round. They got the 52nd pick. If you could end up, you could do this one day working as a GM. If you've got the 52nd pick and there's still some big name guys out there like Dobbins, the running back from Ohio State, or Taylor, the running back from Wisconsin, do you take the best player or they need linebackers? Do you draft for need? What do you do there?
Well, if I'm the Rams right now and I got a couple of twos, you know, can I move up and move back at the same time? Meaning, like, can I package a couple twos up to slide up from the 52nd spot to, you know, getting into 43? Can I do that because I see a guy that failed that we like, or can I sit tight? So if I move up and I trade up or give you my two twos for your two, are you going to give me your three? So I'm going to gain an extra third round pick. Like, how am I going to juggle that for what it is that I'm looking for? Now, in terms of J.K. Dobbins, I don't necessarily know if he fits into the scheme. He doesn't catch the ball nearly as well out of the backfield as you would like a Todd Gurley type. You can't deploy him from the line of scrimmage and allow him to do some of the things.
Same with Taylor, too, right? He's not a great receiver.
Absolutely the same with Taylor. Plus, he likes to put the football on the ground. Now, some of those things are correctable. But a guy like Zach Moss, who's sitting there, let's say Zach Moss gets out of the second round. Now, all of a sudden, he gets out of the second round, running back from Utah. He's out of the second round. You may want to slide up in the third round to grab a guy like that because he does catch the ball well out of the backfield. He has a little bit of an injury issue, but I'm willing to take a chance on him in the third round with injuries as a running back, because if I can get him going for the next 3, 4, 5 years, then I think I got something special.
See, you know, as a Rams fan, and by the way, I'm wearing the new Rams logo. Did you get your new Rams merch?
I'm not, I hate to say it, on 710 ESPN, Rams Network, I'm not a Rams fan.
Oh, come on.
Key, you never played for the Rams, but Mason's wearing the phallic symbol hat, the one that Eric Dickerson looks like, the Rams head hat.
Here's the thing. I'm looking at the Rams and I'm saying, and I follow them real close, linebacker is where they need to address. Linebacker, Wide receiver, having lost Brandon Cooks, makes a lot of sense to me. An interior of the offensive line, they need depth at the offensive line. What do you think the Rams' biggest needs are?
Well, again, I would be drafted for need, but I think one of the biggest needs is certainly at the linebacker position. Can you find a guy in the second round that fits the mold of what you're looking for, a cover down guy in this scheme that could also force the run when he needs to, or can you get a receiver that is, you know, like Hamlin from Penn State in the second round, a guy that can pick him up and put him down? Because the one thing that you need is somebody from a vertical stretch game. The two big bigs both came off the board in Michael Pittman as well as T. Higgins, so those guys are gone.
You know this guy
got that in Reynolds.
Do you know this guy Chase Claypool out of Notre Dame, Key? That's who ESPN has in their mock that the Rams are going to take at 57. Wide Chase Claypool, wide receiver, Notre Dame. What do you know?
Chase Claypool is from Canada, and he's a kid that's from Vancouver. Pretty good kid, great athleticism, better athleticism than most people thought. Really did well down at the Senior Bowl, kind of did well at the Combine. From what I understand in talking to some people at Notre Dame about him, not the, you know, it's one of those guys that you got to kind of stay in the classroom with a little bit after, because he doesn't have all of the intangibles that you would want in a wide receiver from a board standpoint.
Okay.
In other words, pick is in Robert Hunt, guard from Louisiana.
Yeah. In other words, things would have to slow down for him a little bit.
Okay.
But good football player. I mean, if you're looking for a big receiver, then he would be one of the guys that's left on the board as that type of guy.
Yeah, this kid from Baylor, Denzel Mims, is still on the board. Do you like him, the wide receiver?
You know, I'm always skeptical of taking guys from Baylor, TCU, wide-open offenses where they just throw the football all around. There's not a lot of successful guys that have come from those sort of systems. He's certainly somebody that I would take a look at. I don't necessarily know where they have him rated at. He's not one of my highly rated guys on my board. Claypool actually is higher than him for me.
Claypool's got better size, right?
Yeah, Claypool's big. Claypool's almost like a tight end.
And so you think the stats are sort of empty in a program like Baylor?
I don't pay attention to statistics, and here's why I don't pay attention to statistics.
Especially in that conference in the Big 12.
Well, they don't play defense, number one. But yeah. Mason, and this is just from a nepotism standpoint, family nepotism, as I like to always say.
Yep.
My nephew's statistics didn't match up with any of the guys that went drafted before him in the NFL draft the year he came out. And I told him.
By the way, Key's nephew, if you don't know, is Michael Thomas, who's arguably the best receiver in the NFL, plays for the Saints.
One of the best, I would say.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with him, and I told him, you know, they took all these dudes, Coleman from TCU or Baylor, the other guy, Dobbins from TCU, and all these other guys, and I told him, I said, man, nobody care about their statistics. They can run up and down the field all day long in those wide-open offenses. What do they do on Sundays? They're not going to be around when you get your second deal. They're either going to be on second team, third, fourth teams, or out of the league. And that's how you look at it. You can't get so enamored with the collegiate statistics
numbers
of people.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Hey, Keith, last thing for me. What did you think about what the Raiders did, basically just drafting for speed, taking that Henry Ruggs out of Alabama who ran a 4.2 40? He supposedly is an excellent basketball player, kind of a freaky good athlete, but a little early in the first wide receiver to go. What did you think of that pick?
I thought it was a great pick. I thought that they hit it right where they were supposed to with Henry Ruggs, which to me was my number one receiver. Well, he's a number. I had CeeDee Lamb one, but then I had him two, and I put CeeDee Lamb one because of politics, so I kind of worked it that way. But in all honesty, Henry Ruggs was my number one guy. He was supposed to go to the Raiders the entire time. Now, in terms of what they did with the 19th pick and picking Arnett from Ohio State,
early.
I'm okay with that. And the reason I'm okay with that is because they felt that they needed a corner, and that was the best corner for them. Not for everybody else, but for them. And as long as they're okay with it, then you have to be okay with it, because they hit two things. They hit the receiver that they needed, and they got the corner that they needed. They didn't all of a sudden take a center, or they didn't all of a sudden go get a kicker. They took what they needed.
Yeah, did the Packers screw up by taking Jordan Love and not telling Aaron Rodgers first?
No, I don't think they screwed up. If Aaron Rodgers' his feelings are hurt because they made a decision to take a quarterback that's not going to play for the next 4 years, then so be it. But I don't think that Aaron Rodgers should worry about them taking a quarterback that's not going to play. Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback
for
the Green
Bay Packers.
Does that
make any sense to take a quarterback who you just said might not play for 4 years with a first-round draft pick when you've got an elite quarterback and coming off a great season, one game away from the Super Bowl? Why not give him another weapon if this kid's not going to play for 4 years?
Because you can get him a weapon in the second, third, and the fourth round. The receiver position, tight end position is so deep that you're comfortable with going and doing those sort of things. If your quarterback is there and you believe a quarterback could be your future QB, you take him. If let's say, for instance, the Rams didn't sign Jared Goff to this massive deal, and he had 1 year left on his contract, and the Rams was sitting in at the 25th spot, and somebody came up at quarterback and they liked him. But they were going to extend. They were going to extend Jared Goff. You, Sean McVay, take that, because in the end of the day, you never have enough good ones. How many teams do we sit around looking for quarterbacks and scratching their heads saying, "Well, they, Cincinnati Bengals, they need a quarterback. Carolina Panthers, they need a quarterback. You know, Dallas Cowboys, they need a quarterback." We sit around and we talk about it so much about teams needing quarterbacks because there's not enough of them. And when you talk about a guy like this, don't look at his statistics. Don't look at his junior year when he lost his entire offensive line, all of his receivers. He threw 16, 17 interceptions. I get it. I understand that. Go look at his sophomore tape. Look at his sophomore tape and look at some of his tape from his junior year. Look at his intangibles. Look at some of the things that he can do. Look at the Patrick Mahomes sort of thing in him. You look at all of those sort of things 3-4 years from now, as he learns sitting behind Aaron Rodgers and getting coached up, he'll be an NFL starter. And now you got him in a situation where you wouldn't have gotten that guy 3 years from now.
There goes Jonathan Taylor. He goes to the Colts. Running back Jonathan Taylor.
Why you sound like you just lost your best friend?
We wanted that as a Rams possibility.
Yeah, I thought that was a Rams. I thought that was a Rams possibility also.
Well, the Rams got backs though. They got Brown and Henderson. They just drafted them.
Yeah, I know. I know. I believe that the Rams are okay at running back. I don't believe that's a priority. This was more a John thing. John was rooting for the Rams to take a. I would rather see them take a wide receiver.
I think they have 4 picks today. They have 2 in the second round, 2 in the third, and that's if they don't make one of those trades you were talking about. I think one of the 4 will be a running back.
Depends on who's left on the board. I mean, the Colts needed a running back, so they went out and got one. I mean, he's a powerful runner. Like I said, if he can continue to not put the ball on the ground, then he'll be a great one. Part of the problem is he likes to fumble. He likes to give it to the other team. And when you got a guy who likes to give it to the other team, that's not a good recipe. That's a recipe for disaster.
All right. Well, listen, Keith, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. Don't forget, every morning, Keyshawn, LZ, and Travis, the only local sports morning show in Los Angeles. It is a must listen. When I'm awake, I listen, Key. When I'm awake.
You need to wake up and stop acting like you've been at bingo all night.
Dude, I live the life, man. Do you know what I'm saying?
He can't even wake up for the Sedano show, Key. He hasn't heard your show in 2 years.
It's past 4:20, Key. It's going to be a big night for me.
All right, enjoy, fellas.
All right,
see you,
cool.
See ya. Keyshawn Johnson there. All right, let's see. Just to keep you updated, Houston Texans, they took a guy named Robert Blacklock, whose dad was the point guard for the Harlem Globetrotters.
Excellent.
Which is very cool. And these picks are coming in fast now. Jaguars are on the clock. We will get those Rams picks pretty quickly. Nobody's using
their full
7 minutes.
Yeah, they'll probably happen during Fast Track, and when they do, we'll carry them live.
Absolutely. All right, Mason and Ireland rolling on 710 ESPN.